Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. Have you been praying for someone to surrender their one and only life to Jesus for a long time and just kind of giving up hope that this will happen? Well, today's guest, Jeremiah Johnson, was once a drugged out alcoholic atheist until a radical encounter with Jesus set him free. And Jeremiah, with Jesus, there's always hope. And I'm sure, like me, that you're thankful that Jesus didn't give up on you, man.
Yes, very much so.
Well, talk to us about that encounter with Jesus.
Okay. Well, like you said, you know, I didn't really have a church background or a church framework. My father was an atheist, and my mother was agnostic and wasn't really sure what she believed in. And I spent, you know, the first probably 19 years of my life under just the concept of being an atheist and not believing in God. And then I initially had some pretty bad experiences with Christians, unfortunately. And, you know, I a lot of judgment and condemnation and things of that nature. And so it didn't cause me to want to draw near initially, you know. And so I felt like that God was for weak people that needed a crutch. Mm-hmm. And was very vocal, an outspoken atheist, antagonistic towards Christianity. Of course, I'm going to be the guy that God calls to preach, right? Because that's how he does things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so just kind of continued that first portion of my life, you know, pursuing what I thought was happiness and freedom, and walked down that road of parties and drugs and sex and alcohol and just all the licentiousness. And it looked like it was funner than what the church had to offer me, you know. And, you know, initially, I you know, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. So initially it was fun. But, you know, that's kind of the hook that gets you, you know. And then fast forward till where I'm 19 years old. And, you know, what began as freedom, what began as fun for me, you know, ended up, you know, wrapping me in the chains of addiction. You know, I was a full-blown drug addict, full-blown alcoholic, sex addict. Lying, cheating, stealing, horrible human being, you know, and had kind of reached the end of my rope. And I'd had a teacher in high school who took me under his wing and sowed the seeds of the gospel into my heart, and right here in Woodford County. And I never received when he was doing that ministry. I fought him tooth and nail the whole time. I was a jerk. And but those seeds still resided in my heart. And when I reached my darkest time, when basically everything around me had failed, you know, the police couldn't tame me, my mom couldn't tame me, girlfriends couldn't tame me, I couldn't tame me. I had reached the end of myself, and I was miserable, depressed, suicidal, and drug addicted. And that's really in that place is when I began to consider God as an option, because I had ran out of all other options. And he began to just draw on my heart. And through a series of events, you know, and really it's funny because, you know, when God begins to draw on you, he's going to speak to you in a way that you can understand. And so for me, I was going up US 60 right here, headed to Frankfort. And I, you know, was on drugs at the time, you know, really wasn't. I was at the end of myself, but I really just didn't know that God was what I wanted. But I saw this church sign. And just a church sign on the side of the road, and it said, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And when I read that scripture, it just jumped off, and it's like it hit me in the chest, and it pierced all of my darkness, and God just grabbed my heart in that moment. And then from that time on, God would use those three numbers to draw on my heart, 333. And so I could be in a party in Lexington doing drugs at 3:33 a.m. in the morning, and then bam, my face would turn right to the clock, and I'd see 333. And it's like God was saying, call unto me, and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things you know not of. Be out in the country with some friends doing drugs, drinking and driving, smoking weed, whatever. License plate in front of me, 333. Call unto me, I will answer you. On friends' T-shirts, on stickers, on books, everywhere. And it was like, and the whole time I was miserable, and I'd reached the end of myself. And it was basically, he was stretching out his hand to me saying, I will rescue you if you'll let me. You know, and I think that, you know, salvation comes when we come to the end of ourself and we reach that moment where we realize we cannot save ourselves any longer. And then through a series of events, I eventually went to that church and got a haircut, got baptized, got a suit. Hallelujah.
Got the suit too,
yeah,
man.
Boy,
right.
Yeah,
you went all in.
Yeah. So I got saved, you know, and I was, you know, just initially just radically just introduced to God's goodness and God's love. But it would be years later until I actually learned how to have a relationship with him. And that's when I actually became a disciple. If that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I initially rolled into church in chains, rolled out of church in chains.
Mm.
But slowly the truth kept coming and kept setting me free.
Yeah.
And I sit before you today completely free from drug addiction and alcoholism and all that stuff. None of it has any hold on me any longer. All because of Jesus.
Amen.
Not because of Jeremiah. So,
yeah. Well, I love a couple things. One, how God pursued you and spoke to you through a church sign. One, I think it's interesting because it was Jeremiah.
Yeah.
So, and then the 333, you know, he just kept putting that around you. And so to somebody listening today, I mean, God loves to speak to us, doesn't he?
That's right. Come on.
I mean, you know, he does. And he did that, and his grace for you, you know, wasn't the first time you saw the 333 at the party at 3:33 a.m., 3:30 p.m.,
come on.
But yet eventually you surrendered your one and only life. So talk a little bit, you know, you've been in ministry now for 15 years. You're senior pastor at Grace Point Church in Georgetown.
Yeah.
What led you go into ministry full time?
Pretty much as soon, you know, once I, you know, I initially, like I said, I got saved and I kind of flip-flopped around for a little bit. But once I really made a decision to really pursue God and actually start going to church and learning and sitting down and renewing my mind to Scripture, it's when I finally did that, which would be a couple years later, I immediately basically realized I had a call of God on my life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what it meant or anything, but I knew that I was called.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm glad that you surrendered that. Jeremiah is a great follow on Facebook. I want to encourage you to check out Jeremiah Johnson Ministries on Facebook, like myself and over 5,000 other people have. You recently had a couple of posts about grace.
Yeah.
And I know you talk a lot about that, and man, we all sure need that. But one of them, the posts you had recently said, grace doesn't make light of sin. It just makes much of Jesus. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I think that a lot of times grace can be misunderstood because it's been misinterpreted. But we have to look at Scripture, you know, to interpret God's truth, you know. And according to Scripture, grace is the only thing that sets us free from the dominion of sin. Nothing else does, you know. Everything else is based in man's willpower. And willpower will only provide deliverance as long as your willpower strength lasts. And so grace is not your willpower. Now, you make a decision to choose it and to believe it, but grace links you into God's power and provides a lasting deliverance from the dominion of sin. Nothing else does. But I think when people look at grace from afar and they don't really look at it from a scriptural perspective, they will think that it gives someone a license to sin because it's the awareness of forgiveness and the reality of forgiveness. But according to Scripture, that's not the case. When you understand that you're forgiven and that you're loved, and that the cross was a success.
Amen.
And that all your sin has been paid for. It removes the veil of condemnation off of your heart and the heavy weight of legalism and condemnation off of your shoulders. The Bible says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Under condemnation, you spend your days angry at yourself for your failure. You become very self-focused, and self-focus does not provide deliverance. Only Jesus' focus provides deliverance. And so what grace does is it lifts your head up from staring at yourself and your own shortcomings, and it lifts your chin up to where your eyes are face-to-face with the Son of God. You look into His eyes of love and grace and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and the absolute victory of the cross, and He says, I stamp you, my child. You're forgiven. You're right with me. I did it. You didn't do it. I uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And so the reality of that love and that forgiveness provides an environment where God can remove sin and its destructive elements and its dominion off of your life. Great example would be the woman caught in the act of adultery. here's someone doing something that's punishable by death according to the law. She's condemned. She's judged. She's dragged into the center of the city. And the Pharisees and Sadducees say, hey, you know, the law says we kill her. What do you say? Jesus begins to write on the ground. They become convicted in their conscience from the oldest to the youngest. And they, all of her accusers leave because he said, he that's without sin cast the first stone. No one could condemn her except one, which is Jesus. He had the right to condemn her because he was innocent. But he's not on a condemnation mission. He's on a salvation mission. So he says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, no one has accused me. He says this to her. This is important. This is grace. This is freedom from sin. Neither do I condemn you. Mm-hmm. Now, he gives her the gift of no condemnation mm-hmm. in the midst of her disobedience, mm-hmm. before she repents, before she changes,
yeah.
while she's lying in the dust.
Before she gets her suit on, her dress, to go to church,
ahead,
right?
Go ahead, yeah. go ahead. Mm-hmm. The gift. Neither do I condemn you. Mm-hmm. And it's that gift of condemnation, of no condemnation, in our state of unworthiness, in our state of undeservedness, mm-hmm. that is the beauty of the song of amazing grace. Mm-hmm. Unmerited, undeserved, I pardon you, I forgive you, I mm-hmm. find you mm-hmm. in your worst state, mm-hmm. but I believe in you and I lift you up.
Yes.
And then after that, he says, go your way and sin no more. So he's not advocating sin. He's not saying sin is my will or what I want for you. Sin destroys. It's destructive. It's death, period. Mm-hmm. Kills. Mm-hmm. But he gives her the gift of no condemnation first, which empowers her to go and sin no more. Okay? Because when she understands her value and her worth in her worst state, and she receives love and forgiveness and no condemnation, see, grace is more concerned with your heart than the forced obedience of your hand.
Ooh, that's good. Say that again.
Fear can force you into action.
Yes.
But only grace can love you into a place of transformation where your heart and mind is changed. So this woman, she's not ready to run out and sin again. She's had an encounter with Jesus. She's had an encounter with grace himself. She's fallen in love. And out of a place of love, her obedience will arise as a result of gratitude and thankfulness.
Yes.
And it is in that place where grace sets people free from sin and does not give people a license to sin. So when we preach the new covenant, which is different than the old. Old's based in works, new's based in grace and faith. Mm-hmm. When we present the graciousness of the gospel, what we're doing is we're bringing a focus and making Jesus and his finished work big, powerful, mighty. Mm. We're not giving out licenses to sin.
Yeah.
As a drug addict, I never needed a license to sin. I didn't need a license to do anything. I was in a state of rebellion. Mm. But according to Scripture and according to God's plan, grace is what sets us free from the dominion of sin. Not fear, not punishment, not bondage. Simple, good, amazing grace. Mm.
Good stuff. Man, we're having a great day talking about hope and the hope of Jesus for you and for me and for everybody that's listening today. His grace is enough. We've been talking with Jeremiah Johnson. He is pastor of Grace Point Church in Georgetown, Kentucky. Want to encourage you to check him out on social media. He's a wonderful follow on Facebook, Jeremiah Johnson Ministry. He's got a new book out. He's also an author called His Love to Us and Through Us. So he's been talking about that grace. We're going to talk about God's love tomorrow in his new book called His Love to Us and Through Us. I also want to encourage you to check him out on his website, jjm.life, jjm.life. But join us again tomorrow as we'll continue our conversation on love and with Jeremiah Johnson on Hope is Here.
If you've been blessed by Hope is Here Ministries this year, would you consider making a year-end donation? To make a donation, go to their website, hopeishere.today, where you can make a secure online donation. Or if you prefer to write a check, the mailing address is also listed on the website. Please make your check to Hope is Here Ministries and mail by December 31st. All your donations are tax-deductible and greatly appreciated. Make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today. Thank you for listening and happy holidays.